Garcia is ready. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. The ball game's over. The Rangers have shut out the Blue Jays by the score of 2-0.
Hey! I thought the Stars were going to outscore the Rangers again. It did not happen. Good morning, Metroplex. It's the Hump Day edition
Hump Day.
Your official home of the Rangers and Cowboys. 105.3 The Fan. Nate Eovaldi leaves the game early. Sandler is saying that it's precautionary, not expected to miss time. Now, so far, I feel like the Rangers have been better on the injury front with the reports coming to fruition compared to last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, more consistent. Definitely. They haven't given us any one of these like,
yeah.
Oh, he has a hangnail. And I was like, never mind, it's Tommy John. Like, we haven't gotten that yet.
Tricep fatigue for Nate Eovaldi, but the bullpen does the job, and Josh Jung drives one in, taking advantage of some Toronto sloppiness. Game three of the series, 6:30 tonight with the pregame. First pitch at 7 o'clock.
They've done a great job piecing the bullpen together at times. And obviously, you know, Eovaldi's been tremendous. And of course, hopefully this isn't anything long term. But you have to put, like, this pitching staff has been one of the best in the sport. And for them to be even remotely close to 500. With the way the offense is played, is a testament to that rotation in the offseason.
If you look, I looked this up yesterday. I was just curious, what other teams have scored one run or fewer like this many times this deep into the season? The only teams that have done it more in the last decade are the Rockies this year. It was the A's in 2022, and it was the Marlins in 2019. The records of those teams are the Rockies are 9-45, the A's were 60-102, and the Marlins were 57-105. Like, Texas without their pitching should be about the worst team in baseball right now.
The Rockies are on pace for like 27 wins. No one's ever had less than 40. This is remarkable.
It's an awful baseball team. It's the only team Texas can beat consistently.
All right, let's talk about selling.
All right, so the Rangers are listed as a bubble team. And right now, buyer or seller, CBS Sports, I saw this yesterday, had them listed as a, like I said, a bubble team. The buyers were the Tigers or a bubble team, Philadelphia, Seattle. And, of course, you have your usual list of sellers, Miami, Colorado, Pittsburgh. When it comes to the bubble teams, Baltimore is on there, which is ironic because they just fired their manager. They're ready to pack it in, but I don't know that they're going to be a seller. And then the Rangers are number two. Rangers, here's the write-up, find themselves in a similar predicament last year, fresh off a series victory, entered the final few days of July, a few games under 500 at the time. The question was, would they trade pending free agents, Eovaldi, Max Scherzer, or hold tight and hope for a run? They mostly held trading Michael Lorenzen, and they added a few. They had, you know, Andrew Chafin and Carson Kelly. But if the trajectory stays true, Tyler Mahle figures to become a person of interest. He's a skilled contact manager in the midst of a great year, even if his inability to miss bats might limit his return. Look, to me, Mally's not going to do what you want.
What do you mean?
If this team is looking to add a bat, the guys you're going to add from are Colorado, Pittsburgh, Miami, maybe Tampa. They're not looking for Mahle. They're looking for a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
So he's not going to bring... You're only going to deal Mahle if you're selling to get a prospect in return. You trade him to the Tigers. You trade him to...
Well, why can't I... It doesn't have to just be a sucky team. Why can't I trade him to a team who has an abundance of bats?
Well, you could do that. You could do that. So a team looking
for
pitching.
You need a bat. I need an arm.
Absolutely.
Arms are usually more valuable. Bam.
That could totally work. That could totally work.
Contenders can trade amongst each other.
Oh, for sure. They absolutely can. Just generally, you're looking at like,
yeah,
you're trading a piece for a young kid, or you're trading a young kid for a piece. That's generally how it happens. So from that aspect, it's not going to bring a whole bunch back. But if you look at the bats that are out there, Ryan McMahon, third base, Colorado. Rangers don't need third base. Okay? Hey, you want to move him to first? I mean, do they really need first base? Plus, are you really going to go for a guy who's got an OPS plus between just 90 and 99. I mean, that's below league average. Like, do you really want that? No, I don't really want that.
And by the way, he's played a handful of games in his career at second, too. So, I mean, he could, if you're able to dump Simeon, he could play second.
Yeah, but what are you going to dump Simeon? Simeon's not, I mean, no one's going to take that contract, I don't think.
Let's just hope and pray somebody like the A's or Toronto or somebody where he's been before will be like nostalgic. Be like, yeah, we'll take him.
So, Cedric Mullins, Baltimore. This is another one. Now, he has become a dead pull hitter. He is a stolen base guy, though, successfully stealing over 80% for his career. But he's having his most productive season since 2021. He's an outfielder. Yandy Diaz, Tampa, first base. He's been highly productive in recent years. His last three seasons, a 138 OPS plus. That's really what you're looking at when it comes to the hitters on the market right now that might be out there.
The only team that immediately I see fitting the criteria of having enough offense, not enough pitching. Now, I'm just taking the team ERA, so I don't know starters bullpen, is Arizona. Arizona is fifth in runs scored, but they have a bottom seven team ERA. So that type of match I'm looking at, you know, like a team that has some offense. Again, I don't have the particular names in terms of the bats, but you're right. Pittsburgh, they don't need Malley.
No, they're not. They have no use for him.
Now, what if Jack Leiter gets like a little bit hot?
That's an interesting guy. Because he would fit the mold for something that Pittsburgh or Marlins are looking for.
Right.
A lot of team control, young, high upside. There's no upside with Malley, right? Malley is somebody you trade to the Dodgers, to the Yankees, to a team that the Cubs, right? The Cubs are a team that's going to want to compete. So that's a guy you trade there. You're not going to trade him for somebody that's going to be looking to unload young bats.
No, I mean, like, you're going to have to find the right match if you want to still be able to buy potentially and fix the offense. The problem is just, like, even if those names, like, if you told me they got all three of those names that you just listed off on offense, I don't know that their offense is that great still. Like, even if you can find somewhere to put them in the lineup, they're so bad.
You got Yan Moncada?
Sure. Yeah, throw me anybody who will get a base hit. Literally, I shouldn't have to flip back and forth between Stars and Rangers and go, oh, I saw one base hit from the Rangers tonight. That's awesome.
You're busting my knee.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the Rangers, they're not trading Walcott, right? They're not trading him. If they trade him, it's going to be to get, he's part of a package that gets you Paul Skeens. That's who they're going. You know what I mean? Like that. That's O'Neill Cruz. That's who, and I wouldn't even. I don't even know what they do for him. But like, you're talking about trading him for a young, up and coming super stud.
I've got a take about this team that I don't know if I should say yet, but I just. If we're 2 weeks from now and this offense still looks the same, 2-3 weeks down the road, and it doesn't look any more promising, and they don't start deciding we're going to move people, then they probably need to move people in their front office. I would say if you're going to be so committed to hanging on by a thread, like you need to start blowing out people who just can't accept that your team's not good enough because they're going to keep you middling for forever.
Well, I don't believe that I'm going to just throw out Chris Young's name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe Chris Young thinks that they're good enough. I mean, you'd have to be stupid to think that offensively you're good enough. Like, sure. Chris Young probably wants to make a move, but it's going to take two.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do you say, you think we're good enough? You're delusional. You need to go.
Trading for Chafin last year and not unloading people was a reckless decision. If you're in the same position where you're just going, let's add, and you're adding to a point where it's like, you're not adding to anything that's going to add up to like a contender, though. There's not enough out there to match up with it. Now, they could still turn it around. That's why I said, if we're a few weeks down the road and they still look like this and nothing is changing, you don't have enough pieces out there on the market to add to be able to build this.
All right, so from the 469, look for them to trade Josh Smith for a valuable return. I think Josh Smith is an interesting guy because he's so valuable because he can play different positions and he's a good hitter. He's a solid. I mean, and he's young. Like, I don't know that All right, he's cheap.
Well, that's not why, the guy I want to unload.
But that's
not
the guy I want to unload. He would be a tradable asset for another team. All right, Bobby has his list.
All right, yeah, I got five guys we're going to trade. We're going to get rid of all these guys. We're going to get back a haul of Mark Teixeira-like prospects for all of them. Number one, if they're going to start selling, these are the ones that I think could be potentially attractive. Number one, Jonah Heim. So he's not been the same force behind the plate the last 2 years. It doesn't look like he's ever going to be the guy he was in 2023 at the plate, but he's still like a pretty strong option. I think for if you're a contender and you're like, I need to upgrade the catching position, I would think switch hitting Jonah Heim would be pretty attractive to you. Two.
Let me ask a question about Jonah Heim and catchers in general. His numbers, because when we were growing up, the catcher position, we're used to some mashers. Where's the catcher position now in relation to what Jonah Heim does? Are you thinking of your 30 home run guy behind the plate? Do they want more defensive specialists? Like, where does Jonah Heim stack up among catchers? Because I agree initially with, go ahead, trade Jonah Heim. A couple years ago, that was a fluke. That was an aberration. Mm-hmm. But then I look at the numbers and I was like, all right, the RBIs were fluky at 95, but he's 16, 18, 13. He's in a 15 home run range over the past three years, and he will be again this year.
That's about league average, 15 home runs from the catcher position. There was only two, four. Last year was only seven guys.
Who do we appreciate?
There was only seven guys in Major League Baseball as the catcher who had more than 20 home runs last year.
Seven?
Just seven.
Okay.
Cal Raleigh at 34. Dude's a monster, right? Dude's a monster.
All right, Jonah.
Yeah, so Jonah Heim is one that I would move on from if I'm selling. Number two, Jake Berger. So ever since he got called up from AAA Round Rock after being sent down for a little bit, his OPS is up near 900 now. His defense has been a lot better since he came back up. So
he's been their player of the month.
Yeah, if you need right-handed pop in your lineup, somebody to give you some time at first base, like Jake Berger, I think Berger is the
maybe player the last 2 weeks.
I think Berger might be the most intriguing bat they could trade. Like to somebody who's out there looking for somebody. Three. If we're gonna blow this thing up, let's just move on from Evan Carter.
Ooh,
this is
hot take hump day.
I'm dumping stock on. They call him 3-2 or the only three. He's Robert Griffin III. He was great his rookie year. He starts getting hurt all the time. We need to just dump. But this is you're gonna get 70 cents on the dollar. But do it now before you get 40 cents on the dollar in the future.
Okay, listen. You can go down that road. But if he turns into Christian Yelich, you're going to...
I'm not going to complain about it. If he turns into Christian Yelich, I'm going to go, great. He reversed a bad back at 21, which has consistently been a problem. And the dude just has not seen the same at the plate. Okay. So I want to try and get something in return. Number four, Tyler Mahle, easy one. Free agent. That's like your that Tyler Mahle screams trade deadline, like
Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn.
Yep.
And Mike Minor.
If you need to move a veteran reliever, okay, if somebody's like, let's just add to the bullpen a little bit, Hobie Milner, who has not been as good lately, but you've got veteran lefty reliever. He's on pace for his fourth straight season of 60 appearances. Just find, hey, give me one of your disappointing prospects that you got some upside on. I'll trade you Hobie Milner to help fill out your bullpen.
Not Adolis?
No. I don't know that Adolis is like, I don't know that that's as attractive right now, just given some
more
of his
performance. You think Jake Berger can bring back more than Adolis? Mm-hmm.
More than Adolis?
Yeah, because Berger's a guy who's like younger, has control.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. He doesn't.
All right, there it is. Bobby and Choppy talking about selling the Texas Rangers. It is a random Wednesday wheel spin. Hit it, Vanna. Fancam, Twitch, and YouTube. Landing on. Oh, God.
Yes! What? Sports match.
Why is this even on as an option? I hate this.
The
game.
Return. Yes! The return of sports match.
I don't even remember
how to. I need two. I need two right now. 877-881-1053. I need two contestants to win a non-prize at all. 877-881-1053. Let's go.
Please don't call.
The Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep. That's what you got to do. Head on over to PlatinumCDRJTexas.com. PlatinumCDRJTexas.com, and you are going to find the best deals because it is employee pricing plus. Happening right now, boys and girls. My good friend Scott Millsap, he is the GM at PlatinumCDRJTexas.com. He's the Tolo. It's right between I-20 and Highway 80 in Terrell. It is worth the short drive.
to save a lot more, and you can get that 2025 Ram 1500 Laramie. It is for $649 a month for 42 months. Maybe you're looking at a different trim level for the 1500, 1.9% for 72 months on all trim levels. Lone Star, Bighorn, Limited, Laramie, Trait, whatever you want, they've got it, right? I'm so excited about Sports Patch. I can't wait. Wagoneer SEV, 1.9% for 72 months. PlatinumCDRJTexas.com to customize it or drive a little further to save a lot more at Platinum Chrysler Dodge Ram Jeep.
The random Wednesday wheel spin is haunting me. My most despised game that I thought got canceled permanently on 105 through the Fan is back.
It is back, baby. The Wednesday wheel spin, and we have our game. It is not high-low. It is my other favorite game. Now, I am no longer a player. I have been graduated to host.
Oh, okay.
And I am your host. I am Gene Rayburn. And it is time, Peyton, hit the music.
All right. It's Sports Match.
Yeah, baby. Okay. All right. We got our two contestants. We have Mario. We have Tate. I am going to read you the rules real quick.
Now, have you all ever played this?
I've never played it.
I've never played it.
Payne's never heard of this. I had to show him a tutorial video here on how to do this thing a second ago. All right. So I am going to ask a question to the panel. You two and Peyton, you can play as well. You are the panel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The panel will write down your answers. You do not give your answers. You do not share your answers. You write down your answers. Do not read them. I will ask the first caller. I will ask Mario. Hey, I will ask him the question again. Give me your answer. And then you will reveal your answers one at a time. And we'll see how many points.
It's like match game.
It's called match game.
It's just like match game. Okay, with just sports.
And then we'll
topics.
Move on to the next caller, which is Tate. And we'll ask him one. And we'll do this three times each. So. Okay. Okay. Let us get going here. I'm going to write down Mario's name and Tate's name so I can keep score because I don't forget because dementia runs in the family. Mario, you are up first. Good morning, Mario. Where are you from?
From South Lake.
All right, South Lake. South that sounds like a tough question for you there, Mario.
Sorry. I'm nervous. I'm very nervous.
That's good. We like nervous. Nervous makes great radio. First question for the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones, Peyton, this is where you start to... No, you don't bring the music up yet. That's my fault. That's
you just
me.
Told me the rules.
I know, that's on me. That's on me.
Well, you listen to Choppy Chaka, but not me.
Yeah.
Hit that drop, Peyton.
Jerry Jones loves to talk to the media so much that he keeps a microphone hidden in his blank.
Oh.
Jerry Jones likes to talk to the media so much he keeps a microphone hidden in his blank.
Okay.
And let's not try to be gross here.
Oh.
It doesn't have to go to the, generic. Every one of these, you could just say tallywhacker for the answer. We don't have to go down that road every time.
Okay.
All right.
I don't feel great about my answer, but yeah, I got one.
Peyton, you got one?
I got one.
All right. Very good. Okay. So the panel has their answers. Mario in Southlake, he thinks, Jerry Jones loves to talk to the media so much, he keeps a microphone hidden in his blank.
In his desk.
He keeps him
right by the McGriddle.
Right by the griddle. Hidden in his desk. Sean Sharif, your answer is?
I said bathroom.
Bathroom. That is not desk. Bobby Belt?
I said glory hole.
I think Jerry would appreciate that.
Bate Russell?
I said helicopter.
Helicopter. Oh, okay, so Mario.
Sorry, Mario.
Mario, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to go to Tate because, Mario, you're going to get two more questions here.
Desk was good.
So stay on the line, Mario. Desk was a good answer, but Mario with a big, fat goose egg. Tate is up next. Tate, good morning. Where are you from?
Arlington.
Oh, you confidence. Said that with conviction. You knew that better than Mario knew where he was from. Okay.
We'll be in Arlington next month for the next firehouse.
Yes, we are. All right, question for the panel. At the State Fair of Texas, one booth was offering fried Oreos, fried butter, and something they called Dax Deep Fried Blank. At the State Fair of Texas, one booth was offering fried Oreos, fried butter, and something they called Dax Deep Fried Blank.
Oh,
I think we should get this.
I'm going to match here with Tate. Okay. You won't match. It depends whether he's a Dak head or not.
Yeah, Cowboy fan, Dak head, who knows who he's going to be. Panel is writing their questions or answers down. I think we have them here. Tate, I will ask it to you again. At the State Fair of Texas, one booth was offering fried Oreos, fried butter, and something they called Dax Deep Fried Blank.
Well, I'll tell you what. We were at the State Fair last year, and we couldn't find the butter. We couldn't find any of the stuff we were looking for. So I'm just going to shoot off at beer because I know Dak likes to drink a beer.
Dax Deep Fried Beer. Okay.
I think this was an easy one. I think Tate missed.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I had deep fried interception.
Interception!
That was a solid one. I could have said deep fried injured leg.
Injured leg.
Like a turkey leg.
Yeah.
I was close, thinking sort of like interceptions, but I went Dax deep fried balls. Like his footballs.
Yeah, nice. Footballs. I think I went the Sean route, what he thought in mind. I had deep fried hamstring.
Deep fried hamstring. Okay. So Tate.
It's good.
Tate with a zero. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. We
y'all
are
see
scoreless.
How stupid this game
no,
is?
No, it's the greatest game.
We are
I love
scoreless.
This.
So dumb.
We are scoreless after one. All right. Next one. Mario, you are back up. Do we have you?
Yes.
All right. Very good.
Where are you from?
Yeah. Let's see if you get this one. The new SMU stadium is so fancy.
How fancy is it?
Instead of peanuts and beer, they serve oysters and massage your blank between quarters.
I thought you said don't make it dirty.
You don't have to.
All right, say it again.
The SMU stadium suite is so fancy. Instead of peanuts and beer, they serve oysters and massage your blank between quarters.
All right.
All right. Bobby?
Yeah, all right, I got it.
I'm trying to match here.
Yes.
All right, Mario. The SMU Stadium suite is so fancy. Instead of peanuts and beer, they serve oysters and massage your blank between quarters.
I'm going to go with they massage your glutes.
Glutes. Okay. good glute massage. I thought this was another easy one.
I think Sean got it. Sean, did you get glutes?
Sean?
Massage your wallet.
Massage your wallet?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good. I was going to say trust fund is what I was going to say. But I was trying to match, so I just went feet.
Massage your feet. It's a good one. Good foot massage.
Yeah. I was going with an easier answer. I just said massage your horse.
Neck?
What?
Massage what your horse?
I'm trying to match Mario here.
Buzzerball. That's a no.
I wrote down neck for my real neck. Answer. That was going to be the easy match.
That's an easy one. Yeah, the easy one is
he
the
said
neck.
Glutes.
Yeah, the neck. That's an easy one.
All right, Tate, let's get this one.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Tate, you are so back up.
Your horse. I dare you to walk into a parlor today in a Justin Tucker jersey and say,
massage
my horse. In a Tucker jersey.
Next bet payoff, Peyton.
Yeah.
Next one. Coach Shoddy walked in on Dak in the film room. He said, Dak, that's not our game film you're watching. That's the blank. Coach Shoddy walked in on Dak in the film room. He said, Dak, that's not our game film you're watching. That's the blank.
I'm struggling with this. That's the blank.
It's not our game film. That's the blank.
Okay, I'm just going to have to scribble something down.
All right. A few more seconds here for our panel. Wonderful panel.
I got mine.
You got one?
Oh, yeah. It's
good. Oh, baby. Oh, Sean's writing a lot of things down here. There we go. All right. Now let's go to Tate. Coach Shoddy walked in on Dak in the film room. He said, Dak, that's not our game film you're watching. That's the blank.
Tuffy, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When did that happen? When's the setting of this happening with Shoddy? Because I keep up with Cowboys pretty close.
When is the setting?
Yeah, was this last week that Shoddy did this to Prescott? I mean, how did this happen?
He needs to know the time frame.
You know what? It was last week, I guess. Yes, it was last week.
It's the Stars game.
Stars Ooh. Game. Okay. All right.
I said that's the roster we can't afford to pay because of you. Yeah, it was all the names of the roster up on the projection board.
Yeah, I mean, if it was last year, if it was game film, I assumed it was last year's game film, so it would look like a disaster. So I said, that's the LA Riots.
Oh, God.
I said, that's actually Super Bowl highlights.
Oh! See, that's the one I was going with. I was thinking, that's the Super Bowl. You're watching the Super Bowl.
Oh, hey, okay. Tate's was good,
Tate
though.
Gave a good answer.
Yeah, that was Tate good. Gave a good answer. Okay, 0-0. Oh, got a barn God. Burner here going on in sports match.
It's like a Rangers game.
Yeah.
Or Stars.
Let's see. Do you want Astros or Sean or Bobby? Oh, a question about the Astros?
Oh, let's do Bobby.
All right. Bobby Belt really swings his arms when he walks. This is for Mario. Mario, you're back here, right?
How much does he swing his arms, Gene?
Mario, here we go. Bobby Belt really swings his arms when he walks. And we should be all thankful. He used to swing his blank. Bobby Belt really swings his arms when he walks. And we should be all thankful. He used to swing his blank.
All right, I got it.
Got it? Pepe?
Yes.
Robert?
Yep.
All right, Mario. Bobby Belt really swings his arms when he walks. And we should all be thankful he used to swing his blank.
Oh, man. I'm going to say his chain.
Chain. Oh, like the old...
did you have a skater chain?
No, I didn't. I never did, but it's a good answer.
Sean?
Pill bottle.
His pill bottle.
There we go. What do you mean used to?
Bobby?
I said his fofo at Papacito's.
His fofo? Oh, my God.
We're going to tell that story next time you reference it. It's getting told on the
air. In the morning?
Well, it's about to be referenced now because I said his gun.
Oh, oh, we match! We match!
Those two hey! Bobby and Peyton have one. Bobby and Peyton have one. Oh, boy. All right. Here we go.
Last opportunity right
Last
here?
Last opportunity.
This is Sports
Come on,
match.
Tate.
Wednesday wheel spin sports match. What a shocker. No one has matched up.
817 said his purse.
All right, I'll give you the Astros one. How about that?
Easy cat.
No, but no, you got to give a Sean. We did me. You got to do
all
Sean.
All right, fine. I'll give a Sean one. I'll give a Sean one. Sean Sharif is pretty depressed since his grill broke. He's so depressed, he laid in bed and basted his blank.
Oh, this should be easy, y'all. This should be easy if you're a Tolo.
Sean Sharif is pretty depressed since his grill broke. He's so depressed, he laid in bed and basted his blank.
Come on, Tate. If you're a Tolo, go for the insult. Let's match. Walk-off winner right here.
We have the panel. They have their...
You got me.
Hang on. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet, Tate. Not yet, Tate. Not yet. Got it?
Yep.
Peyton?
Yes.
All right. Tate, this one's for you. Sean Sharif is pretty depressed since his grill broke. He's so depressed, he laid in bed and basted his blank.
Dadgummit, man, Sharif, and I listen to you every morning. You got me wanting to get into smoking meats, man.
Think of.
I want to say one of meat churches rubs. It can't be that. Can I get one more guess at this?
Yeah, yes. Hurry up. Just throw something out. That's just,
think of a bigger insult.
Whatever those pellets y'all put it. The pellets you put inside your grill.
The pellets. Yes.
Based it as pellets.
Yeah.
Yes.
That shows he knows the show, though.
Yes.
And. Repeat the question one final time.
Sean Sharif is pretty depressed since his grill broke. So depressed, he laid in bed and basted his
small hands.
Yeah, I was going to say before Joseph Hicks took care of it, I was going to say snakes, but I said tiny hands.
I said hands.
Tate. You could have had 3-for-3. So we have a tie, and nobody wins, nobody ever wins in this game.
Right.
That's the whole point.
There it is. The Wednesday random wheel spin on 105.3. The Fan. Peyton, did you enjoy it? I know Bobby did.
I liked it. Let's do it again next week.
That's no more spinning wheels. Let's just add it weekly.
Hell no. Has this Cowboys player gone from total bust to totally underrated? That's next. And B-Low.
B-Belt.
On the home of the Cowboys after this.
After we get you over to QC Kinetics. Get you healthy and keep you healthy, boys and girls. You've been dealing with joint pain. Knees, hips, back, shoulders, elbows, ankles, wherever it may be. QC Kinetics has got you covered. You're going to want to get healthy. I did. I needed it. 2021, I had gone through years of steroid injections, years of surgery chatter, years of pain and weakness in my right elbow, my right shoulder, my left elbow, and my left shoulder. Couldn't work out. Couldn't throw the ball at the kids. Couldn't play golf. It was awful, man. I couldn't grip a water bottle at one point. I had to tuck it under my arm like I was carrying a newspaper back in the 90s. I went to QC Kinetics, and they said, you don't need surgery. You need our natural biologics, restorative, regenerative options. Allows your body's own healing properties to target those aching joints. And you can get helped out by them just like me. 972-972-8610. No drugs, no steroids, no surgery, no downtime. 972-972-8610. QC Kinetics. 972-972-8610.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is it a new Wednesday tradition? Below the Belt? Coming on right after the weekly edition of Sports Match? Nope. I think so. I think that I did have to come back. We got to read one answer we got on the fan text.
You meant about the intro being played.
What was the... Yeah. That's solid. That's
what
solid.
What did he say?
He said, is the new tradition the intro being played? Because Ross was here for 3 days last week. All right. So I got to read one answer. We just finished up Sports Match. I do got to read one we got on the fan text. Chop, do you have the one about Sean still with you? You said he's no longer got his meat, so he's got a...
Oh, yeah. Sean is so depressed. He's grill broke, and instead of now he's just sitting around laying in bed basting his blank.
And 214 said his wife to get some more paternity leave. So that's a solid bit. 214, you good. Win today. You win 214 since we got blanks, unfortunately, from Mario and Tate there.
Not from me.
No, not from you. It's 6 weeks reminded us of that. All right, Below the Belt is sponsored by DNF Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Most underappreciated players in the NFL. These are always interesting to me whenever somebody nationally tries to write on an individual team basis about who's underappreciated or who's disrespected or whatever else, because I feel like usually they're pointing out somebody who it's like, we don't underappreciate him at all. We love that guy. Or they're pointing out somebody where it's like, okay, that's clearly an analytics look. You're not watching like what he's doing. And I think it's the latter one here for this list from NFL.com. But before we get to the name that they have here, I'm just curious from you two. If I was going to say the most underappreciated player on the Dallas Cowboys is, who would you come up with? We'll do another sports match.
Dak Prescott.
Really? And you would say that?
And he's also the most overrated.
By supporters and detractors, mm-hmm. Whatever your opinion is of Dak Prescott, it's too intense.
It's too intense.
That's fair. I can see. I think
Dak's underappreciated. Dak is a solid top. A little bit. He's a top 10 quarterback, right around that 10 mark, right around that, you know, in that top 10. And that's, but the nowadays we've gone so far with quarterbacks that if you don't have a title, people just call you trash.
I heard Broadus say yesterday and last week, actually, that Dak was a top 17 quarterback, that he was the 17th quarterback, as he repeated his segment during
Krusty's corner yesterday. Dak is 17. Now, look, obviously the injuries have to play into this, but assuming health for everybody, Dak is better than the 17th best quarterback. And the fact that he's even there on the list, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a joke. Like, I mean, he should not be a spot behind Trevor Lawrence at this point. That's ridiculous. Right. All right, so over at NFL.com, they've got their most underappreciated players. Sean, your most underappreciated Cowboy?
I wanted to come up with like a really anonymous name, but I went through the entire roster. I didn't have an instant answer. I don't know whether it's possible for these two guys, but I wrote down Osa and Aubrey.
Yeah, I think that's like...
I don't think Brandon Aubrey is, you know, people recognize his greatness.
Nationally, Aubrey's underappreciated, I think.
I don't know. I think everyone goes, oh, here we go. It's within his range. Maybe I'll say Osa, even though he did just get paid.
The name that came to mind for me probably was Malik Hooker. Like, I think people just trash him so consistently. And I think overall, he's usually pretty solid. Like I don't think it's as big of a disaster as people like to point to. Could they get better at safety? Yes, they absolutely could. The name they came up with for NFL.com makes me wonder, who are you? Are you just looking at the numbers here? You didn't watch a lot of Cowboys games last year? Because this is the name they came up with. The most underappreciated player on the Dallas Cowboys is Jalen Tolbert. They say one of the immediate benefits of the George Pickens trade, Jalen Tolbert stops getting hate he doesn't deserve. A third-round pick out of South Alabama back in 2022, Tolbert unsurprisingly needed a couple seasons to find his bearings in the NFL. He broke through in year three, catching 49 balls for 610 yards and 7 touchdowns. Not to say that's eye-popping production, but it represents encouraging growth. And yet, through the first 4 months of this year, Tolbert's name became something of a punchline when Cowboys critics rhetorically asked, who are Dallas's weapons beyond CeeDee Lamb? With Pickens' arrival as the new number two receiver, Tolbert is more than functional wide receiver three, so everyone can get off the man's case. That sounds a little personal there for NFL.com addressing it. Now, has it reached a point where Peyton said it a couple weeks ago when we were doing Ask Reddit, that like everybody hated Nickelback so much that like they didn't deserve it, that at that point they became disrespected and underrated? So is Tolbert the guy who has been dumped on for so long and so consistently that now you're like, that he's a better player than you guys talk about him?
That's interesting that the dislike, the hate, whatever, goes so far the other way that it actually makes them
Jalen Tolbert better. Has been a non-factor. Like, he doesn't even register in
calling it a breakout last year seems really extreme.
Didn't he lead them in touchdown catches?
He did lead them in touchdown catches, but I mean, 49 catches in 17 games.
Yeah. Like,
that's not, I'm not.
I think they looked at the stat sheets and they're like, oh, he led them in touchdown catches and no one knows that. Boom, there it is.
Yeah, like they had assumed, okay, this is going to be.
If Jalen Tolbert was that underappreciated, we wouldn't be appreciated. We wouldn't have been screaming and talking about wide receiver nonstop over and over and over during the draft and then after with Pickens.
Yeah, now this is something that was kind of interesting. If we are going to talk about ways that he could be underrated, I was looking at a couple of different numbers, a couple different data points with the Cowboys last year when we had looked at George Pickens getting here. And I was trying to see, all right, who had performed really well against double teams, for instance, who had performed really well against single teams, like whose performance really dropped off when they got doubled. Because George Pickens, when he gets doubled, his production just becomes non-existent almost. When he's singled, his single coverage numbers are similar to CeeDee Lamb's single coverage numbers in terms of his efficiency and the type of production he gets. So when he's somebody who's allowed to just work against a single defender, it's good. The best receiver by far on the Dallas Cowboys last year, better than CeeDee Lamb was against double coverage, was Jalen Tolbert. Jalen Tolbert was remarkably efficient last year against double coverage, put up like really strong numbers actually, and was pretty solid as a contested catcher. In fact, as a contested catcher, he was the best on the team last year in catch percentage. So it did make me look, when I was looking at those numbers, I was like, that's a little surprising to me because I've always thought of him as somebody who you can bully him a little bit. You can move him out of the way. He can get his head taken out of the game. His confidence can get rattled. And that was definitely the case the first 2 years. But maybe the numbers bear out that, yeah, he is a little bit underrated. And maybe NFL.com's right. Maybe we're too close to it. And we've been burned too many times. All right.
Well, where is he on the depth chart when the season starts?
Third.
Is he behind Mingo?
I don't think so. But, okay. I mean,
How could he possibly be?
Look, I mean, Mingo's never gotten a chance to play with like a real NFL quarterback. You know what I mean? So Bryce Young was really bad last year, or 2 years ago when he first came up. Then he had already fallen out of favor in Carolina. Then he got here and he was playing with Cooper Rush. And so, I mean, he's somebody who I'll say, and I think we've mentioned this on the air before, but if we haven't, that was an area of tension that McCarthy and Jerry had at the end of McCarthy's tenure. Was McCarthy refused, like McCarthy wasn't putting him on the field. And I think Jerry in the front office was like, we made a deal for this guy where we put him out there a little bit. Like there needs to be, so, but also if you believe that Jerry dictates the lineup or anything else, he clearly didn't because McCarthy's right. Like, no, I'm not going to. But they wanted, like, we made a deal for this guy. We traded a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Can we see some of this a little bit? Let's get him some reps. He's going to get a lot of reps during this offseason work and during training camp, Mingo will, because they are going to want to get him up to speed. And Brian Schottenheimer talked about him at Combine where he had said, look, it's on us to also bring that out of him. Like, I need to be held responsible, too, for Jonathan Mingo's production, not just, well, he's clearly not any good. Like, we've got to do stuff to get him involved and make him productive. Okay, NFL OTAs are underway for most teams this week. Dallas got a week early start along with a couple other teams, but the vast majority of NFL teams started their OTAs yesterday, and we had some noticeable absences. And some of these may be somewhat relevant to Dallas and the things that they're trying to do with their roster right now and some of their extensions. The first one that popped out to me, though, Hassan Reddick did not show up to Buccaneers OTAs after signing with them in March.
This guy hasn't practiced in 3 years.
What is wrong with this dude?
I've never seen somebody more just... he had told Philly, I'm going to report. He didn't. He held out. He gets traded to the Jets. He tells the Jets, cool, we got an understanding. We're good. Then refuses to show up. Like, that got into the season, didn't it? Where he didn't even get signed until the season started, I think, with Reddick when he got traded there. And now, even though it's voluntary, it does bear watching that after signing in March, Reddick doesn't show up to the first OTAs with Tampa Bay. In Atlanta, there are two names that were of interest that didn't show up. Kirk Cousins, who bizarrely remains an Atlanta Falcon. I still don't have any clue why he's there.
Because they're trying to make people take on too much money.
And that's the, like, wouldn't you just move off of it yourself? Like, figure out that, like, nobody's going to take
it. Let someone get more desperate. Let someone go down with an injury. Let someone get hurt.
Yep.
This is
how much is it costing them to hold on to it?
This is hanging around the bar till 2 a.m. just waiting for people's standards to fall.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Miss America and walking through.
That's what it is.
What happens if Aaron Rodgers, right? They could have the Steelers on the hook and Aaron Rodgers trips out. You know?
That's literally true.
Well, he will. I mean, he's probably going to
Kebly Oteki or something like that.
The other name in Atlanta that didn't show up yesterday, and it's not clear if this is related to a contract dispute. If it is, it might be relevant to the Cowboys. Kyle Pitts, who is entering the fifth and final year of his rookie contract.
Oh, my God.
He is skipping OTAs, just like his fellow David Mulugeta client, Micah Parsons.
All right, I got something for Kyle Pitts. One of my all-time correct draft takes when all y'all made him, you know, the combination of Gronk and Shannon Sharp.
I was with you on it.
And everyone else. What right does Kyle Pitts have to hold out over a contract? You're a big-time disappointment, dude. Like, you've done nothing. What are you holding out for? You should be happy they haven't cut you yet, honestly.
If you look at his, so his first season, he makes the Pro Bowl. He was solid.
He made the Pro Bowl?
1,000 yards receiving, one touchdown on 68 catches as a rookie. He was fine.
One touchdown, he made the Pro Bowl? Well, it's the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. The last 3 years, he's missed some games in there, but his 17-game average, if you average out his numbers to 17 games a year over the last 3 years, his average is 49 receptions, 628 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's lower than those numbers we just quoted from Jalen Tolbert.
Who else is held out with less resume? I'm trying to think. Like, where do you get off?
When did Vernon Davis click in his career? Because remember, Vernon Davis was like a pretty big bust early on, and then he clicked like year 5, I think, or something. I wonder if their perspective, I'm sure it is, the way they would try to argue it is they're going to say, look, he's going to become that guy. Like, he was growing into this. Yeah, year 4 is when Davis finally popped off. But he had been really bad early on in his career. And so I wonder if he's holding out, though, that's indicative to me of what we've learned in the past and that it's probably going to apply to Micah, which is Mulugeta's clients, if they are in the final year of their rookie deal, they generally don't play on the fifth-year option. It's like, no, you need to get something done before we put him out here on the field. And Micah has been present at OTAs. He's shown up. He has not been on the field yet. I don't think he's going to be on the field. If it gets to minicamp when it's mandatory, I don't know that he's going to be on the field if there's not a deal done.
There's your NFL roundup with the Cowboys getting back on the field tomorrow. Our insider, Bobby Roberto Bell, will be there for your home of America's team. Brett Boone at 9:20 after a Rangers win. The Rangers' new hitting coach will join us every single hump day it happens. Hey. But do we need to go ahead and end the Dallas Stars season after last night? Next on Sean and RJ.
But first, you guys know how much the DFW Metroplex means to me. I love anything local, being out there in the community, and that shared love for the Metroplex is one of the reasons why I absolutely love D&M Leasing as well. This is the same D&M Leasing that Cars.com ranked the top leasing company in the country for the 11th year in a row and the best overall dealership for customer experience in the Southwest region of the United States. And that's because for 49 years, our friends at D&M Leasing have been committed to providing excellent client experiences. They know how much trust you're putting in them when you're getting into a new vehicle, and they don't take it lightly. That's why D&M is the right fit for so many of our friends, family, and neighbors. If you go put a post up on Facebook and just say, hey, has anybody ever worked with D&M? I promise you, you're going to find people who have and who have absolutely loved it. With such little staff turnover, the same person who you trusted to help you lease your vehicle is likely to be the same one helping you lease the vehicle after that, and even the vehicle after that. So join 50,000 other satisfied customers by calling 817 or 972-35-LEASE. That's 817 or 972-35-LEASE, or you can visit us online at dmautoleasing.com.